By today's standards, our founding fathers were politically incorrect. In fact, today's woke culture is at war with America as founded. Jared Stepman writes for the Daily Signal of the Heritage Foundation. He's also written a book called The War on History. Many of Jared's articles highlight the ongoing fallout from wokeism. My name is Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Jared Stepman of the Heritage Foundation joins us on the program again. And the discussion here, Jared, is on the issue of wokeism, because I find if I had to look all your different articles, and they're so good, but that's sort of the theme, you know, by any name you want to put it, but that's really the bottom line. So, for example, you wrote recently about some of the people who are derisively calling our new Speaker of the House of Representatives MAGA Mike Johnson. So welcome to the program. Great to have you on. And how about some comments about Mike Johnson?
Oh, that's great. And thank you so much. It's really great to be on. It is interesting how much he's been attacked for simply holding the beliefs that I think would have been considered normal or common among the founding generation. I think there was a particularly rancid piece that was published by Rolling Stone that was criticizing him for a flag that was in front of his office that said on it, "Appeal to Heaven." It has a picture of a tree. And of course, this flag, for those who know something about the Revolutionary War, this was actually a flag that was used by militias during the Revolutionary War. The idea of appealing to heaven was a very common one for the soldiers who fought during that war.
Let me interrupt you. George Washington himself, George Washington himself used that flag, and the phrase itself comes from the writings of John Locke. All right, go on.
That's correct, and I think it does say a lot, certainly, about the current media landscape, that they don't even understand even the basic underpinnings of what our country was built on, what it was about. And to those at Rolling Stone, and I think a lot of left-wing publications, the idea that someone would even uphold anything resembling a Christian faith or have a public statement of faith is seen as radical, a departure from what America is. But I think the departure is from their end. I think it shows what the transformations that have happened in America, certainly over the last a half century, and I would say really stemming from the kind of cultural revolutions of the 1960s. Again, these would be things that were not very controversial 50 years ago. Now it's inconceivable that a Speaker of the House would have a flag that was appreciated by George Washington, was appreciated by the founding fathers of this country.
Now here's a quote from your article. It says, "The Tea Party grandma who goes to church and who voted for Trump is, even for many mainstream Democrats, a bigger threat to our democracy than Islamists or communist China." Really?
That is how many on the left see this. They see conservative-leaning Americans, traditional-leaning Americans, certainly religious Americans, as a bigger threat, certainly, to, I think, their power in this country and their worldview. And I think it is quite sick when you see certain individuals like Brian Karam at Rolling Stone, who's lumped in conservative Christian Americans, essentially, with the butchers of Hamas, these other radical Islamist groups that I think have shown their colors, I think, very clearly in recent days. But that is a very common mentality on the left, certainly the far left, but I think increasingly what we would call the mainstream left in America. And I think that is why part of the reason why our politics of this time are so radical.
Recent pro-Palestinian protests. You want to make some comments on that beyond what you just mentioned?
Yes, I think it really is interesting, especially with the younger generations of Americans now holding views very different from the older ones. There is much more sympathy in America of the younger generations for, you could say, the Palestinian or even the pro-Hamas cause now in the Middle East as opposed to Israel. And I think that is quite a departure. It's one that I think is especially pronounced on the left in the Democrat Party. I think that there is a huge generational divide that I think that many simply sympathize with the cause of Hamas. And I think especially after what happened on October 7th, the attacks that took place there, the very savage attacks, I think it's very clear what the side of justice is in this conflict. But many young Americans don't see that. I think that after generations, I think of a lot of propaganda and left-wing ideology telling them that those who are the so-called oppressed, it's the pedagogy of the oppressed, that somehow that they're victims simply because they are the weaker party in relation into Israel. And I think that's a warping of even the concept of justice. I think that comes from a left-wing ideology. And unfortunately, again, there's a marked shift, I think, taking place in the generations, and largely caused by, I think, a lack of education because of the ideology that I think has pervaded in our schools and our institutions and our colleges and universities, where it's most pronounced.
You know, the whole terminology of oppressor versus the oppressed, that all gets back to Marxism. Would it be fair to say that, in effect, wokeism is just basically cultural Marxism?
I think that connection, I think, is very apt. I think it's abandoned maybe some of the older Marxist theories about class conflict. And it's replaced that with other kinds of identitarianism. The idea that your race is essential, the idea that there's an oppressor class, that there's an oppressed class. I think these flow from Marxist ideology. It's a reboot for the 21st century that flows from, I think, some very common notions that now exist on the left. And I think it creates an inversion of justice. I think it creates some very terrible and ruthless things, where you hear people saying, people who, of course, have criticized much of American history for the perceived sins of America, now making excuses for those who are, for instance, in Hamas, who have committed egregious things in the modern day, making excuses for those things. And I think you see that, again, it's most pronounced in the places where this ideology is most pervasive, which is, of course, on college campuses in America, which have become hotbeds, which, you know, of course, these institutions which preach tolerance have become dens of hate toward other people.
Yeah, it is amazing. How about the subject of the teaching of American history? Do you see the woke crowd, dipping their hands into that, too?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's part of the issue here and part of the reason why there are so many young people who they're now completely untethered from American history. They don't understand what really makes America what it is. They've been taught from a very young age that their own country was the villain, was the bad guy, the oppressor, the colonizer. They've really soaked in these words. They've drunk, I think, from that poison chalice for so long. That they've lost all context. They've no longer been able to put into perspective what our history is and what it means, what even is right and wrong. And I think that wokeism, unfortunately, has filled this kind of gap, this kind of crisis of meaning for many young people who are untethered from history. They never had a proper teaching at any level, whether that was in a K-12 school, whether that was from the culture around them, from media and entertainment, or from their colleges and universities, which often taught them that their country was bad and fundamentally flawed from the beginning, since its very origins. And I think that has created a rising generation, unfortunately, who are very much untethered from what this country was.
Well, the founders said in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident. They talked about how God, the Creator, has given us the rights that we have. Even John F. Kennedy, in his inaugural address in 1961, said, our forebears believed, and we affirm, the idea that the rights of man come not from the generous hand of the state, but rather they come from God. Do you think the woke people believe that our rights come from God?
I think they don't believe that, and I think when they're even encountered with that view, they think it's something crazy and radical. I think it was interesting hearing just a few years ago a discussion on NPR, of course, National Public Radio. They were discussing Senator Ted Cruz saying that we have God-given rights, and one of the hosts was just shocked and flabbergasted, like, have you ever even heard of such a thing, that you have God-given rights? This sounds like some crazy, radical thing. And I'm thinking, I think you're absolutely right. When you bring up John F. Kennedy, this used to be a concept that was more or less universal in the United States. You didn't have to be a Republican or Democrat to understand this. I mean, we debated a lot of issues, and of course, there were a lot of divisions between Americans. But that idea that our system derives from this idea of God-given rights, which is baked into the Declaration of Independence, which didn't give us those rights, it simply explained that we have them. I think that is what shows how much of a departure there's been, I think, in American life, how much of a cultural revolution has taken place, that ideas that were once nearly universal in this country on one side of the spectrum aren't even considered at all. They're considered a radical extreme view and not understood whatsoever.
You know, I keep thinking of the line from Rush Limbaugh when he used to talk about how so many young people, because of the educational system that we have in America, you have all these skulls full of mush. But people can turn around, you know, once you start actually working out in the real world, if that happens, and you start, you know, realizing the value of a dollar, if that happens, you know, and you realize all of a sudden, you know, some of the crazy things taught in college really aren't true and don't really work either. You know, then slowly you can start, you know, becoming a little bit more commonsensical.
One would hope. Unfortunately, I think largely what's happening in many cases is that, you know, that generation of people who were, of course, radicals when they were at colleges and universities, they were not taught about our history. There's now a critical mass. I mean, if anything, our institutions have been transformed by them and now reflect their ideologies, their beliefs, so that, you know, the business world, the kind of professional world that they now live in is the one that was created on college campuses when they were going to school. It's simply they've now transferred that to the so-called real world. And I think that is why we have so many problems and so much chaos today, because of that transfer of generations. They can be mugged by reality, but they don't even know what reality is. They continue to go with the ideology no matter what. And I think that is what makes this movement far more dangerous and I think revolutionary in American history. I think that's why there is it is so important to get things right, to understand the nature of this movement that isn't just politics as usual. This comes down to the most basic things that we believe and that we stand for, and which is why I think this political moment is so much more intense than, say, debates from earlier times in American history that were often very intense, because this gets down to the fundamental things you think about: what is justice, what is right and wrong. I think what wokeism does is it turns all of that and turns it on its head. And I think that is why we are in such a deep conflict now more than ever.
Well, we only have about a minute left of this discussion. Is there any hope for America, in your opinion?
There is hope for America. I think that a lot of these problems, of course, are very intense. But, I mean, you can see how fast things can turn around once you cut through the ideology. I thought it was very interesting recently to see San Francisco clean up its streets because a communist dictator from China showed up. I think that says a lot of bad things about San Francisco. But, you know, they suddenly decide to clean the drug use and all the issues that they have.
Yeah, for a few hours.
Fast things turn around. It shows that if there is a will to do these things and to have better policies, they can be fixed. You just have to cut through the ideology, and I think that is what the primary issue is, what we're dealing with.
But don't you think that hours after Chi left San Francisco, the communist dictator, that things basically are, you know, getting back to normal in San Francisco? Unfortunately, we have 20 seconds left.
I think they will, and that's because of the ideology. I do hope that people will see common sense when they see that they in their own personal lives suffer because of these views, and maybe see a small glimpse of what can be reality, what can be right and just and successful. I think that is the hope to fix things. You know, as cities and townships defunded their police and approached all these terrible policies, they paid a very real world consequence. Maybe people will turn around. Maybe they will see their ideology as the wrong way to go and go a different direction.
Jarrett Stepman, DailySignal.com for more information. You write great articles. Thank you, Jarrett. All the best.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.